It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 329, entitled Tret de Jutes. It was recorded on Monday, the 7th of April, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined by three fabulous guests. First up, my co-host is Michelle Frechette, and then I also have Tim Nash, and I have Tammy Lister as well. Now, a few gremlins got into the recording. Basically, when we started the recording, everything just entirely collapsed, and it took us about 25 minutes to get things re-established again. So I'm very sorry if you are joining us live for This Week in WordPress, as you so often do. Apologies about that, but we did get the show started, but we weren't able to distribute it in the way that we would normally do. But we did carry on. The show is a little bit shorter, but we got onto some WordPressy things as well. The first thing to mention, though, is that we did a few bits and pieces about Michelle's work. She has started a new podcast with Bob WP over at Do The Woo, and she's also started a new series of talks, which are going to be happening at the same time each week over at Post Status. And then Tammy shares some information about Penpot, which is a possible replacement for Figma, and also the press conf schedule, which is happening later in this month. And then we press on to the WordPressy bits and pieces. We talk about the restructuring at Automattic and the fact that as much as 16% of the workforce has been let go there. And then we talk about the .org committers and the fact that we now definitively do have one more major release in the year 2025. Will that carry on into the future? Is this good or bad for WordPress? There's a long discussion about that. We also talk about the fact the Page Builder Summit is coming up. As I said, PressConf is also coming up, and there's a few other events happening as well. And then quite a lot of time is talking about whether or not WordPress is for the young anymore, whether or not it's going to be possible to reach out to those younger people. And that's inspired by a piece from Marika van der Acht. And then we mention a few new things that have landed in the WordPress space and some updates to plugins as well. And it's all coming up next on a much shorter This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. It's This Week in WordPress. We're back for the 11th time running this exact episode. I'll give you a bit of context because it'll be funny. We're on episode number 329 of This Week in WordPress, but we've had numerous false starts. For some reason, the tech completely let us down. It might well let us down again. I have no idea. But for now, we're going to press on. And thank you so much if you're joining us in the comments. I really appreciate that. You sticking around. You've lost 22 minutes of your life to this nonsense. I'm very appreciative of you sticking around. Thank you so much. I can't send you to the normal URL. Normally, I'd send you to wpbuilds.com/live, but it won't work because I have to copy and paste some API key in and blah, 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 blah. And that's not going to happen because we're short on time. So what I'm going to do instead is say, go to youtube.com/wpbuilds. Send people there, youtube.com/wpbuilds. And the comments will be slightly hollowed out, I expect, because there won't be many of you, but I appreciate it if you've stuck around. Down there is our co-host for today's event. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Now, Michelle has got an extra role today. First of all, I will fulfill my statutory obligation to introduce Michelle with her biography. Michelle is the executive director at PostStatus. In addition to her work at PostStatus, Michelle is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, creator of WP Speakers and WP Career Pages, author and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events. She lives in outside Rochester, New York, where she's an avid nature photographer. And you can find out more about her at the sort of generic URL, Meet Michelle Online. And hold on for a minute, because there's something else we're going to announce in a moment. Find out more about that. But hello, Michelle. Thanks for being with us.
Hello. It's good to be here.
And thank you for sticking with the technical gremlins. Right, over there, no, there, there's Tammy. Tammy Lister, how are you doing, Tammy?
I'm good, thank you. Is it episode 500, yeah?
We're on episode number 712. Okay. Many years have passed since I had brown hair when we began this episode, don't you know? And Tim was clean shaven. Tammy is a product engineer, tinker of pixels, and tea enthusiast. She lives in a field, currently having lambs pop up next to her. You don't actually live in a field, surely not.
My house is literally in a field, and there literally are lambs that keep appearing next to me.
Tim has usually got some kind of wildlife happening in the background there. And we'll find out more about him in a moment. But thank you, Tammy, for joining us. Really appreciate it. And Michelle contacted me over the weekend and said, now normally Tim gives me a fun bio and I have to read it out. And Michelle said, no, I'm going to write Tim's bio this week. And then I said, if you write it, will you read it out as well? And she said, yes.
So I did.
Here we go. Introducing Tim Nash, we have Michelle Frechette. Over to you, Michelle.
Yes. Well, in case you didn't know, Tim Nash will share things that will scare about breaches and hacks and malware. But he always comes through with advice that is true and will save you from pulling your hair.
Nice. Nice. And
I went because we have a document that says about what's, you know, fill this in, fill your information in, see the links this week. And I went and saw it there and went, that's so much better than what I put in.
messaged you, Tim. I'm like, don't look at your
don't
bio, but I promise you'll be surprised. But that's okay. Obviously, you didn't see that, so it's all good.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. So there's our panelists for today. We're going to have to run through things a little bit quicker. Guess I'll probably just drop a few of the links because I know your time is valuable. But we'll just say a few bits and pieces that are happening over here. Let's have a look at the comments. Ross. Hello, Ross. You can actually be in the chat. This seems to be a curse. Well, being in the chat is a curse. That's a blow. Hello from Cameron. And Marcus is just confirming that you can see us. That's really nice. Cameron is joining us. He says, enjoying the circus from Victor Harbour, Australia. Stream at a reasonable hour. County Championship on in the background. It must be the British summer. It is. Actual sunshine is going on out there, yeah. Cameron. It's the one day of the year we're going to get it. Good morning, everybody, says Jeff. I don't know that we know each other, Jeff.
Jeff travels with me a lot.
Oh, that Jeff. Do you know what? Yeah, for some reason in my head, I've got his name with a G. So when I saw Jeff spelled like that, I was misunderstood. Hello, Jeff. In which case, yes, we do know each other. That's lovely. Thanks for joining us. Technical gremlins, did you feel a technical mogwai after midnight? Did you feed a technical mogwai? I remember that film.
From the 80s.
And yeah, your back, says Cameron. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate the perseverance. Let's get stuck into the bits and pieces for today's show. This is us, wpbuilds.com. I will truncate all of this, but we are sponsored this week by GoDaddy Pro, by Bluehost and OmniSend. Thank you very much for their kind sponsorship. If you want to keep in touch, put your email address in there and we'll send you a couple of emails each week. One when we produce this show as a podcast, but also when we on a Thursday push our podcast episode out. We only do it with very attractive people. And as you can see, one of the very attractive people is featured here. Look at him. Look, he can barely cope. as I'm complimenting him. We had an episode recently about Rapid Cloud, then Tim did an episode a couple of weeks ago, and then we had Leo Lozovich, and you know, it goes on and on and on. 416, so go and check that out. Right, let's get on to the guests news. We offer the feature now of putting guest news up first, so if any of these fine people have something to say, we're going to feature that first. Here, Michelle has, and I'm not going to say compostable. Oh, darn it.
You said it.
I just said it. It's composable WordPress. This is an event, like a live stream, I guess.
Yep. It's going to be live every Tuesday at the same time, which is 11 a.m. New York time. But I did put a link there so you can find your local time. But every week we're going to have a talk on a virtual stage. So this is our post-status WP Speakers virtual stage. And I'm excited about it because it's mostly people whose talks weren't picked up and other WordCamps and things like that. And it gives everybody an opportunity to have that shared out through what I'm doing at Postatus. And so we've got this week's, we got next week's is already set up as well. And that is with Muhammad Abdullah Khan. And or maybe I said that back. Yep, no, I said that right. Okay. And that one is going to be performance-driven UX, balancing beautiful design with speed. So I have about 15 already set up or on the schedule. They're going to be slow release, so people will have an opportunity to take a look at them. And those will always be on the website.
So the idea is you rather like this show, where it's got a defined time every week. You're going to do the same thing. So it's going to be same day, same time, obviously 1 week between them and one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's to save my own sanity and remember when things happen.
Yeah. yeah. And honestly, it's such a reliable thing to do a live stream like this. Nothing ever goes wrong. No, for sure. So, yeah. Well, best of luck with that. So first one is Chris Reynolds coming up talking about composable WordPress. And and if you scroll down on this page, you will be able to see a little bit more about Chris and what have you. And then if you click on the link here, might as well do that quickly. Click on the link, you'll get to the location over on YouTube where you can subscribe and, you know, get alerted to all the...
And if you're logged in, you can be alerted to when it comes up. So
lovely. Exciting stuff. So, okay, that was the first bit. And then an exciting new development. Michelle's bio is going to get slightly longer.
It is. I've been teasing Bob forever about... He has everybody as on his podcast, you know, hosting a podcast, but me. And so he says, hey, would you want to do event talk? And I'm like, hey, that's my, it's like totally up my alley. So I am joining the Do the Woo team. Yeah.
Nice. We had Bob on last week and
I didn't have enough things to do.
Everybody loves Bob. So what's the plan here then, Michelle? You're going to be talking specifically about WordPress events, I'm guessing. Yeah. Like WordCamp and meetups and Okay.
Yep. And like, so PressConf is coming up. This week is Adorim Summit. We have also the Page Builder Summit, like all of those things coming up. We hadn't said pagebuildersummit.com.
No, so we should say that. Should we got that in there? We'll do that in a minute.
But yeah, so I'll be covering all of those kinds of events. I'll be talking to speakers and organizers and, you know, volunteers and those kinds of things. So I'm excited to bring a little bit more about events to the Do the Woo space.
Oh, nice. Okay, so a podcast entirely related to the events. That's really cool. So, yeah, what have we got coming up? So let's just mention a couple of things. This is going to move us into Tammy territory now. I like the sound of that. Tammy territory. There's a whole other podcast series
it's
there.
Alliterative.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'm sure Bob's just gone, ooh, you see me?
He's had that in the works for years. So here we go, look. So here's an event, and coincidentally, it's one that Tammy is involved in. I'll just do my bit first, Tammy, if that's all right. So PressConf is happening April 23rd through the 25th. It's an in-person event happening in Arizona. I'm sure that many of you have heard of it already. But the schedule is over here, as you'd expect. PressConf.events/schedule is the URL. And if you look through it, you're going to see things that are going on and when they're happening. If you're an attendee, and if we scroll down, have I gone past it already? I think I've gone past it. Keep going. Come on, Wrigley. There we go. Look, there's one there. Tammy is speaking. And what are you going to be talking about? I know the title's there, but what's the thrust of the presentation?
I'm not going to give too much away, but it's basically about burnout and how... In open source, that's kind of like the gist of it. But I think the title kind of alludes to what it is. But it's going to be a little part story, part also practical. But I've also wanted to point out there are just such a wide diversity of talks. Something that Raquel and the team behind PressConf have done is just really curate talks that you just maybe wouldn't see at other conferences. And I'm really excited to see. This is not a talk I have ever given. This is probably more touchy-feely than I've ever given in any other space. I normally give like product talks, or I give like more practical one. But they have encouraged me personally as a speaker to give a very different talk. And I think they've done that with lots of different speakers. If you look at the talks different people are giving. So I'm kind of excited at the different talks that people are giving in these.
Let's have a quick look at that. So obviously there's Tammy's. Yeah. And if you're listening to this, I'll just tell you the title of Tammy's talk. It's Burning Bright, yeah. Burning Out, The Hidden Cost of Open Source. So that's what Tammy was alluding to earlier. Let's just go down the list, or rather up the list. So it's, I think it's, well, anyway, we'll find out. First of all, we've got Sally Striebel. Life is an event. How are you going to show up? Then we've got a fireside chat with Mary Hubbard and Matthias Ventura, two sort of fairly, well, extremely important figures in the WordPress space. Then Oliver Sild from PatchStack talking about the future of open source security after regulations. That's interesting. And then there's going to be a panel with Kimberly Lipari, Brad Williams and Jake Goldman. Then we got Tammy's talk. This is all still on the first day. Mm-hmm. Then we've got Kareem Marucci, unannounced in terms of the presentation title. Ad Astra. Ooh, it's got to be Latin, but I don't
know. It is Latin.
What does it mean? Ad Astra per Aspera. Is this Ramkus?
Yeah, it's Ramkus' talk.
Well, Remkus, if you're watching, let us know. Then Miriam from Elementor, More Than Meets the Feeds, My Life Beyond Social Media. And we'll just do a couple more. Rich Tabor from Automatic Open Source AI and the New Digital Renaissance. And this is still just before lunch on day one. And then we've got Jeremy Saxe, The On-Chain Advantage, Inspiring New Approaches to Community Governance and Funding. And as I said, if you go to this page, there's absolutely loads of stuff.
And if you look at Jake's talk as well.
Jake.
Yeah, who is WordPress for anymore. Like, a lot of these talks are very unexpected, and also from speakers that don't necessarily speak at WordCamps or haven't spoken different work. So yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting. It's also only one track. So one track.
Everybody can concentrate on the one thing. Yeah, that'll be interesting. We'll come to a conversation from Marika van der Echt in a minute about this, who is WordPress for anymore? We segue into that.
I think Pika has got a translation in this.
Oh, thank you, Pika. That's brilliant. Pika, who apparently speaks fluent Latin, from hard times up to the stars. She says it's a very bad translation. No, that's great. Thank you. So it's kind of like, and you know, from down to up, basically, something like, to the star, Ad Astra, to the stars, of course.
And I think that's the thing. These are all different people's stories, even if the title maybe looks, I don't know. I'm very excited because definitely I've been encouraged to give a different talk this time. So
Nice. Well, I know Raquel's done a lot of work with the team, I guess, on that. And best of luck. Hope that goes well. But there's a few more weeks before it actually starts. So, okay. And then we'll move on to Tammy's second piece that she wanted to mention. This is, I know that you're a designer, amongst one of the many things that you do, and this is from an app called Penpot, and I've heard of it, but I don't really know what it does or why you want it mentioning. What's happening to this?
The reason I want to mention is often people just use Figma. They pay their license for Figma and everything. It is not necessarily a replacement for Figma, and often people will kind of put it with that. It is not feature parity with Figma. However, it is open source. You also can self-host it, which I think is incredibly powerful if you want to use something like Elastor, or you want to just self-host it yourself and you want to use it for a team. Because one of the problems with Figma is just scaling from a team perspective. It also is open source, which it kind of just plays to that as well. So it has been pretty good for a long time, but it's now very, very good. And it actually has design tokens now. And it has all, it actually is starting to get some features which Figma doesn't have, or Figma has been taking a long time to get as well. So the reason I have called it out is, I think if you are looking to create a product, you have a team and you are really burdened by high costs of Figma, which often, like small agencies are, you often as a freelancer are, or you often as a product person are, looking at Penpot as an alternative, or looking at self-hosting through Elastio, is really something you can do now on a parity perspective, and you can import between the two, so you aren't caught like in the Adobe import kind of situation.
And you can create plugins for it quite easily. There's like an ecosystem where you can code your own plugins as well. So I do design, but I'm kind of a weird hybrid person. And being able to code my own plugin makes me very, very excited.
That is cool. So, yeah. Like you say, it's not a perfect swap out for Figma, but
no. So Fig good. Jams, different things. You're going to have to work around, but the workflow very aligned. And the bit that I personally love is the self-hosted, because then I can invite people to join my team, and I don't have to pay a seat license. And that racks up clients. Yeah. I can onboard a client, have them come into my space. That and the reason there are many services like this. So Elasto is something that I use. It's basically like a service where you can install any open source software and you can have it online, basically. Because I personally, not running my own local server and porting people into it, not doing that in my field. No, that's Tim's job. But I'll use the service like that. I'll install the open source software and then invite someone in for the duration of the project, and then you can do that. But with Figma, I then have to have a license, all of those kind of things. It's a complete nightmare to do that from a scaling perspective, and then have someone in down. It's just, or then they have to pay their license. So yeah. Penpot does help that. And you can have the libraries and do all of those kind of things. So it pretty much does everything you need it to do at scale, but from a cost efficient perspective.
There we go. So thank you. So a couple of things from Tammy, a couple of things from Michelle. Tim, anything from you? I think you didn't have any links. I just want to make sure I didn't miss any.
No. I logged in and saw everybody had done their job and thought, I'll just sit back. Even my bio was written for me. I'm the latest.
That's right. Yeah. Never mind. It's fine. Don't feel too bad, Tim. Just feel a bit bad. Okay, let's move on. And we're going to get into some news, which is very sad, basically. There's no way of addressing this in any other way. This came out of Automattic over the last week. Looks like 5 days ago now. A fairly sudden announcement. I don't know if anybody saw it coming. It sounds like they didn't. But it basically can be summarized as Automattic shed 16%, I think, of the workforce. And obviously, you know, if you are in any way connected to that, whether it's a family member or you yourself or somebody that you know, that's an awful piece of news. There's no two ways to cut it. I don't know if anybody knows anybody that's affected. I know that, Michelle, you have some initiatives online which are trying to sort of reunite people with work and things like that. And obviously, I know you've been through things. Do you just want to mention that, Michelle? What is it that you do, and where is it, that kind of that job opportunity thing that you have?
I aim for Wednesday, but I always get it out by Friday. But every week I do a list of companies that are hiring and the positions that they're hiring for. It starts on Twitter, but then I copy that to all my social media channels. It doesn't go on YouTube and Instagram, but it's on Mastodon and Blue Sky and Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. Every week, and I also post it in a bunch of different Slack channels as well. Over the years, I've been told by people that they found jobs because I do that posting every week. And so I continue to do that posting every week. I myself am still looking for a full-time position, having been laid off. And I know that in the current climate and the way that at least the U.S. is heading into a recession, it's going to make finding a job that much more difficult. And the number of us right now in tech that are looking feels incredibly overwhelming. But there's hope. And I want everybody else to feel that there's an opportunity out there for you. I'm still looking for mine or making my own, so we'll see how that goes. But certainly, if you need somebody to talk to, reach out to somebody that you know, reach out to me, reach out to anybody, keep your chin up, because there will be a way forward through all of this.
Also, another place that I found to be a great list of jobs is Marcus Burnett's WP World. So if you go to WP, well, you can Google it. That's probably the best thing. WP World, they've got a great big jobs list, which they put as part of wrap up as part of the newsletter. And each week there's a lot. You know, there's lots and lots and lots in there. And there's also job listings on WordPress.org. I don't know it might be jobs.wordpress.org or something like that. There are
it
definitely
could be. Jobs.wordpress.net, I think.
Yes.
One thing that I'd also like to say is, give yourself time. no matter what. Yeah. And also the people that are left after in any company after any layout also need to give themselves time. Everyone needs to be given time to decide your direction, decide what you're doing, support. So you now have time to decide your path and get that support from everybody. And I think it's really important to just give those people that space and respect to tell their story and tell their time as well. So on both sides.
Just putting that piece back up on the screen for a minute. So this comes out of automatic. The reasons for the job, which I think amounted, so we're saying 16%, I think it amounted to something in the region of 284 individuals that were affected. Obviously, people will want to know what's the reason behind it. I'm sure that there is some connection between the ongoing legal dispute and automatic, but the reasons are probably manyfold, including, you know, the wider economy and what have you. But here's the intention anyway, according to this article. It says, as difficult as this decision has been, we are restructuring the company to become more agile and responsive, break down silos that have created inefficiencies, focus on product quality, doing fewer things better, ensuring a viable financial model for long-term success. I guess many people associate automatic with the giant commitments that they've had to the open source project over the years. And obviously that whole realignment has changed as well. And we've got another article, which we'll move on to now, all about, well, basically that. And this is...
Before we do, Nathan.
Yeah, please.
Before we do.
Yeah.
Michelle, how do people who have a job that they want to advertise through your Twitter feed get in touch with you?
Good question.
Any way they'd like. They can DM me on Twitter. They can email me. They can go to wpcareerpages.com, fill out a form there. There's a lot of different ways. Any way that you can possibly get in touch with me, email me at michelleames@gmail.com. Like any of those ways, I will get those jobs listed out every week. The other resource is also that's really, really good that was built as a result of those is wpremotework.com. That is a site that's independent of mine, but I include it in my tweets every week. And those are, I think they're using APIs or RSS feeds or something to pull all those jobs in. So that's another really good resource. But yeah, I'm happy to include any openings any week that you have them. So thank you, Tom.
That's really amazing, Michelle, because normally there's a way, isn't there? There's just like, you have to end up at this thing. But basically, if you can get it to Michelle in whatever format, Michelle will take care of it. Oh, that's really great. Thank you. Yeah, and thank you, Tim, for pointing that out. That was good. Anything else, Tim, before I move on? No, you're good. Okay, great. In which case, let's move on to this piece, which is from Mary Hubbard, who is the new executive director of the WordPress project, .org. Whoops. .org committers check in. And so a couple of weeks ago now, not quite, but nearly, on March the 27th, 30 core committers, project leaders and core team members gathered to discuss the release cadence of WordPress. There'd been a lot of speculation. I can't remember where it started. I think it might have been on Twitter from Matt Mullenweg saying that maybe we'll go to this sort of like one release per year cadence. And it feels like that was to sort of nail this down a little bit. Quite a few people in attendance. There's the names of the people. And the idea was to see what would happen. And an assessment of core team activity shows the number of both Gutenberg tickets and core track tickets remains nearly flat over the last 6 months. However, the volume of new features being worked on inside of Gutenberg has plunged since January. In light of this information, the discussion focused on if the current release cadence should be reduced. And then there were some pros and cons. I won't read them all out, but they're on the webpage. They're all the things that you would imagine. And the conversation moved on to discussing where contributors could effectively focus their efforts in the project. Should the release schedule shift to one release per year? And I know Tammy's got something to say on this, but I'll just quickly go through. And that basically boiled down to canonical plugins, backlog management, and then a bunch of miscellaneous places as well. And then Tammy, just before you drop into this, I'll just summarize it. Well, I'll read the summary. In light of these discussions, the current plans of project leadership are for 6.8, which is due this month, to be the final major release of 2025. Stress on the word major. Gutenberg releases will continue on their current cadence of every fortnight or 2 weeks, and minor releases will take place as needed throughout the year. I'm thinking security and patches and those kind of things. Minor releases will continue to happen as necessary with a more relaxed barrier for inclusion of enhancements, but the no new files in minor releases rule should continue to be followed. Based on this productive conversation, a decision was made to organize these calls on an ongoing quarterly basis to start with. And Mary's going to take the responsibility of organizing those and leading on them. So, fairly profound. We now have it that the project is going to go to a one release for this year. Maybe that is the cadence that will happen in the future. And these core release leads have sort of paraphrased how those tasks might be assigned. So canonical plugins, backlog, maintenance, management, and miscellaneous. And Tammy, you were most excited about this bit. I don't know if that's the right word, excited.
Well, this was yeah, the full transparency. Mention, yeah. I was in the call. Mm-hmm. So this was sheer accident that I'm on this as well, talking about this. But the couple of things that you said that I'd like to talk about first before I get to the plugins was one you said where it was spoken about first. First of all, it was in the core committers channel. That's where it first came up. Great. And then the second, as you were saying about the minor releases, this is yet to be determined what a it is determined what a minor release is, which is the no new files. But what the minor releases will likely see is quite a lot of things going into them. Because the second thing to talk about, which is the backlog management, we'll see a lot of things potentially able to go into minor releases from those, which will include enhancements, bug fixes, paper cuts, all those kind of things that really do improve the day-to-day experience and is a really good thing to focus on and to do work. And we need to do that work in order to do some of the bigger features. So there's a little bit of like we need to plow the field to do some of the features anyway. So doing some of that is a good idea as well. The canonical plugins, though, for me, does show some potential. I'm not going to get into the ins and the pros and cons and all of that kind of stuff because it's there. And that's kind of a debate that everyone can have and they can do their own personal conversations. But canonical plugins does open up some potential. And from a product perspective, I'm kind of really interested to see what happens here. Now, this isn't a new concept. This isn't something we haven't done before. We've had design experiments plugin. We've had performance plugins have gone this way. But for things like AI and other different different things to move the project forward, there's a little project called Gutenberg that started out as a plugin. I'm just going to go to point this out.
I'm sure you remember it. Yeah,
I have no memory whatsoever of that. Starting out the phase one, no memory. Just spot. But that's how we have historically moved things forward, MPC, all those kind of things, right? So been able to do this kind of, and with the modern technology, with AI and doing kind of those things, like a drinking game, right, with AI, but being able to explore and plug in is a safe way to also get testing and find out what we then need to add in core, what isn't in core, what do we need to infrastructure. I'm not focusing away from anything else by saying that, but also showing that the potential that these plugins do have as well.
Does a canonical plugin, once it's been created, so just for those who are listening who doesn't know what this is, canonical plugins landed in my head as core features not in core, basically.
Potentially.
Something that could have got into core but didn't quite merit being in core. But the other thing was it was going to receive the same kind of security posture and maintenance and update posture as if it were in core, right? But it's a plugin, so not everybody needs it, but it's basically, it could be considered essential.
So this is entirely personal thought. One of the things I think that the path might need to be is, does a canonical plugin pair off certain features to then go into core, or does it always stay as a canonical plugin?
Well, that was what I was going to ask. Like, was canonical plugins basically a way of smuggling things into core without working on?
I don't think smuggling is what we're doing.
No, I'm okay. But all right.
I thought you know what I mean? Nefarious.
It's a way that people could contribute their time without being a core committer, for example, but they could have, they could be working on a canonical plugin, which could then work its way up into core. However, the further question for that would be then, if something becomes a canonical plugin, can you ever take it away again? In other words, if it's gone into core, it's basically in core for forever, more or less, at that
point. These and many other questions will be answered as we follow this path. And I think that that's the thing, right?
I was hoping you'd give me all of it right there.
No, and I'm not going to. One of the things that's come out of this is everybody, and personally, what I love is that everyone's communicating, everyone's sharing the information, everyone's working on these hard, these aren't easy problems, right? These are great. So we've kind of done, like, if we're taking this paraphrase, okay, the way we've done plugins before, we've kind of done this before, we've said these ideas, now let's actually do them. But then that means, how do minor releases work? How do these plugins work? How do the questions that we're answering work? We've got to come up with these workflows in these ways. And how do they work with nowadays? How does AI work, things work if they are an AI plugin? How do they work if they are a performance to require on these resources? Like, we have to answer these questions in this day and age, not in like 5 years ago. Well, it was a while ago, wasn't it, phase one? But we don't answer the questions based on that. And that wasn't canonical. That was kind of something different, right? We have to answer the questions based on and define based on today. And that's part of what we're doing. And if you look at the way it's written, is like these improvements were done and now it's how we do it. The best way I can see it is like the experiments plugins, right? And the way that this is the performance team suite of plugins and all these kind of things. But things have been pulled out from those that have then gone into core. And I think that that's one interesting way of seeing it, is maybe there's an AI suite, I don't know. And then maybe things get pulled in. One of the things that these plugins do allow is a lot of testing. They allow a lot of experimentation and they allow a lot more contribution. So we've seen that in the past. When something is a plugin, suddenly it can have more contribution. It can have easier contribution. It can have more support. It can also have more eyes on it. It can have more visibility. Track and GitHub are amazing if you know Track and GitHub and you are in that space of however many thousand tickets it is, and you know how to navigate that. But if you can just go into one little repo and focus on one little thing in one little team and it's your area, that's so much better as a contributor experience to really enjoy and be able to do. And it's probably better for companies as well to be able to focus their contributions.
I think it's fair to say, though, it's a fairly profound moment in WordPress's history, this sort of pivot over to, well, in this case, one more release for the year 2025. And now these talks of canonical plugins, backlog maintenance management, I should say, and then the miscellaneous stuff in there. And all of the different bits and pieces that fall out of that, you know, the what this means for other people considering using WordPress, what this means for enterprise and so on and so forth. Yeah. Can I just going to open it up? Maybe Tim, I don't know if you've got any thoughts on this whole new cadence, whether that's something that concerns you or if you're sanguine about it. He said, dropping almost nothing into Tim's lap at all.
No, well, obviously there is always concerns when you have big changes. I think before this call, you said, and it's going to be the last release that I had to go this year. Obviously that worry is stagnation. That and almost not so much about stagnation as the perception of stagnation.
That's the thing, right? That's the word. I think you hit the nail on the head. Yeah.
Practically, this is the world we live in. Obviously, listening to Tammy talking about minor releases and she's like, enhancements and paper cuts, and I'm like, yes. We're introducing lots of bugs into minor releases. What we need to avoid more than anything is going back to the old days of 6.71, 6.712, 6.12 in very quick releases, especially as we are shifting more people to automatic updates. Lots of people on minor updates. Generally, it's great when we're not mixing like security updates with feature updates, because somebody might not want that feature, and people don't think about it like, when a new feature is introduced in a release and they don't want it, what they do is roll back the release and ignore what else was bundled in it. So we've got to be really careful about how that is explained and delivered. And the final thing is, I'm wondering if we really need to think about splitting Canonical plugins into two. Canonical plugins, experiments.
Oh.
Because Canonical plugins, when Tammy was talking about MP6, which was the original admin area. So the admin area you're seeing now was originally a plugin called MP6. And that went into WordPress core. So when the two-factor plugin was created as a Canonical plugin, there was an assumption that was going into core. It's never been said it's not going to go in. So it's just there. It's just existed. Yeah. It's getting lots of changes recently, which is lovely to see. But there's always been this implication, a Canonical plugin might go into core. Mm-hmm. So if it was like, this is an experiment,
mm-hmm.
we are not going to, we are this, and experiments are more, this might work, this might not, this might go into core, this might not. Whereas a Canonical plugin is, this is an add-on, but we as the community support this. Mm-hmm. This is so, really robust, and this is going to meet all the standards. Because yeah. at the moment, there's two different meanings for one, for two completely different things.
When you say experimental, are you meaning then, in the same way that a Canonical plugin, you can take it or leave it, you either download it or you don't. Are you saying that it would be a similar to that? So we label things as experimental. So that's features, experimental features, and you either download it or you don't. It's not like in any way shipped with core. It's just at the same time as core is released, we release a bunch of experimental stuff.
And to kind of phrase this, there's a design experiments plugin, and there used to be, and it's still there.
Performance Labs being another good example.
Yeah. So I actually plus one to you. I think that those should come back a little bit, because those then potentially could be a ground for plugin. I think a lot of this language is to be cleared up and defined. And there was another point in the post about processes and clarification. And I think to come back to your point release, I don't want point releases to become something that people don't upgrade to, because we've now got to a position where people want to do that. But I also want, if there are bugs and issues, that they can get in and we feel that they are good to be able to get in to be fixed. So we need to be sure of things like testing and really get robust on things like our processes. So that is also part of it. And that's actually listed there, that we need to be better at testing our point releases. We need to be just as thorough about point releases as we are about full releases. And all of these kind of systems come with it. If we're not going to have a major release, we need to be treating our point releases with just as much respect as our full releases. That's kind of the too long don't read around like being, but it wouldn't be like our point releases would suddenly have thousands of fixes in them, because then they don't become reliable upon them. That's the difference between it.
Can I just ask Tim, because I'm really curious about this, because I, in like SaaS apps that I pay money for, there's often this path. There's like an experimental tag, which you can, you know, you can opt into experimental features, and they just drop, and you can just on them and off them as you see fit, you know, these experimental things that, I don't know, Notion might add to their platform or something like that. Are you talking about experimental Canonical plugins, or just experimental anything?
I mean, obviously, plugin. One of the beautiful things about WordPress is you can do almost anything. One of the terrible things about WordPress is you can do almost anything. So, there are already plenty of plugins that have what the technical term that tends to be used is feature flag. Turn your feature flag on. And there are plenty of plugins that already do that for themselves. We don't really have a very good way at the current way for distribution of plugins is very much you get a plugin and you get the next version and the next version. So we don't really have branches and things like that. So on a per individual plugin, if you want to add an experimental bit, you either have to build it into the plugin and launch with potentially buggy code, or you launch a second plugin that's your experimental plugin that interacts via hooks and filters.
Yeah.
But for core, we already have these experimental plugins. They already exist. And things like the Performance Lab, where they have been doing these tests, and some of them then got fed into core and have turned up in recent releases. So, but just if we flag those as these are experimental, stuff changes in them. Gutenberg is another good example. It's actually an experimental plugin. if you install,
and it has an experimental flag in it for experiments within the experimental.
Very experimental. Yeah. Danger with that. But it's an experimental plugin. That's if you want a bleeding edge, but you want version, then you get the Gutenberg plugin. If you want the fun features inside Gutenberg for testing, you tick that button. But if we then compare that with something that is really mature, like the two-factor plugin, which has been a canonical plugin, in inverted commas, for nearly 10 plus years. It's a different type of plugin, and it should be tracked differently. And it's fine to say these plugins are really useful. We as a community are supporting them. They have they're tracked with all the white glove service you'd expect from WordPress.org. These are our community plugins. These are our canonical plugins. But also being honest and saying we're probably not going to put them into WordPress Core. They don't. Their features don't match with what we want in there. But we appreciate that. The large parts of the community need these features. This is great because we want a more modular system. Ultimately.
Yeah, that's it. And also, like, this is going to sound a bit pathetic, but I actually quite like it when I see new experimental features popping up in my SaaS platforms that I pay for, because it kind of shows to me, oh, they're innovating, they're trying out some new stuff, and also I don't have to use it. But somebody somewhere is going to use it and presumably give some feedback. So I think there's actually some community benefit to it. It gets people excited again, and we don't need to just sort of bundle everything into Core. I think that's a really interesting idea. And also, I've discovered the name of this episode. It's going to be called Tret, which is a Yorkshire colloquialism, I'm guessing, for treated. Because you said tret there a few times, and I've not heard that. And I'm living in Yorkshire. Do you say tret when you say treated? I'm just checking.
His face doesn't say that.
No, he's not. I think it's part of your vernacular. You said the word. Anyway, blah, blah. Cracking idea. I really like that. Experimental. I don't know where we'd put that, but that seems like a really, really, really neat idea. Anything else to add on to that before you shuffle through to the next piece? No. Okay, great. In which case, couple of community bits, I suppose, really. First one is to mention that the Core performance team have got a couple of new reps. If you've been familiar with the faces, Felix Arntz and people like that, we've got some new ones for you. I apologize in advance. I'm going to try and do the first names. So Aditya, I'm going to say, is one of the new reps, and Shyam Sundar is also one of the reps. And so thank you very much for stepping up to the community team. Don't know if we've got anything else to add to that, but just thank you. Well done. Next one is event. We haven't said it much this episode. PageBuilderSummit.com. If you fancy joining us, Tammy is going to be one of the speakers at the event. It's happening between the 12th to the 16th of May. We're on version 8. This, believe it or not, is the 8th version of that event, pagebuildersummit.com. And if you click this little button here and fill out the thing that pops up, we will keep you updated as and when it's rolling around. If you fancy sponsoring an event like that, you can click this little bit down here. It takes you to /sponsors. And you can find out what we're offering. There's quite a few companies that hopped on this week. So do that sooner rather than later. It's looking like it'll be a good event. If you scroll down from here, you'll see some of the people that have confirmed for this particular round. So look, there's Cami. Yeah, she's in the call. At least she was. And a bunch of other people. I don't know where Tammy's one. I don't know if Tammy submitted her picture. Yay!
There she is.
There she is. So that's the speaker list that we've got so far. I think we're going to end up roughly in the region of about 40 different speakers, something
nice. Like.
Yeah, it should be nice. So there we go. That's a little plug for that. Okay, this kind of jibes into what we've just been talking about. I don't know about you, but I try to sort of proselytize the gospel of WordPress to my kids not that long ago, a few years ago. And honestly, it was hard, really hard. My kids have been brought up in an era of the mobile phone. They've kind of decided a long time ago that they're not really, or at least they weren't. Actually, I've got some intel on that. I'll give you an interesting conversation I had with my son in a minute. But they
appear to be quite happy with the trade-off of, I will happily give you all the information about me so long as you give me a free platform in return and, you know, sell my data and so on and so forth. And I think WordPress has got a real problem trying to sell it to the utes, as it were. And Marika van der Acht, sorry, Tammy, I have to say such things. The Marika van der Acht, who, as you will well know, I'm sure if you've watched this, she was right at the top of the tree in Yoast. She appears to now be working for, I'm going to say university or something like that, certainly involved in higher education, and produced a piece this week, this week, 1st of April, called Gen Z, Marketing and WordPress, Unexpected Lessons from My Classroom. So she's public facing, she's talking to 18-year-old students and trying to get a handle on what they think of things like the internet and WordPress and so on. And these are the conclusions that she's drawn. Firstly, they're really visual. I'll summarize it as follows. If it doesn't look good, forget it. In fact, looks come, according to Marika, looks is all of it. If it doesn't look great, nothing will happen with it. And you can imagine, you know, you only have to look on your mobile phone. A lot of those platforms that are successful look really good. The other one is the, I'm going to say it, Tammy, cover your ears. The utes, she's done it again. They're not using the vernacular that we're using. So she used as an example, as she said to her class, she used the word webinar and was met by a bunch of blank faces, like, and then had to explain what a webinar was. And they said back to us, oh, well, that's called an online masterclass, apparently. So we've got to make it look nice. We've got to make it so that we're using the right words because the jargon has changed. I mean, honestly, can you remember having conversations with your parents? I'm sure you all can, where you'd say a word and they would go, what? And you'd be like, it's so obvious. Everybody uses this word. So we've got to do that. They're all using AI, although they might not understand what they're doing with it. They are all using it. And this is what I find curious. It turns out that they're driven by values, many of which seem to jibe pretty well with the open source ethos that I'm sure all of the four people on this call pretty much share. I'd kind of lost sight of this. I'd just sort of assumed that this wasn't a thing that maybe was quite so important nowadays, like that owning your own data and worrying about all of those kind of things.
That makes a lot of sense because a lot of Gen X brought up Gen Z.
Okay.
So to me, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, nice. Okay.
As someone who is Gen X firmly,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I'll just go. I love how it's the number three was they like using ChatGPT. Number four,
yeah,
they really care about their privacy.
That's right. Yeah.
Value driven by the environment.
Well, yeah, maybe I've summarized it wrongly. Not necessarily that, but, you know, the environment, human rights, equality, privacy, accessibility. Basically, all the things which, if you'd raise the child, you'd want them, well, I would, I'd want them to be that in spades, right? And certainly the students that Marika's encountering are that, which is just great. It gives me great hope and optimism. But also, curiously, I just made an incorrect summation that, you know, they're posting everything to all these platforms. No, they're really cautious about what they're posting online. And that leads me then to the conversation that I had with my son. And it was somewhat surprising. I was in the car with him the other day and we got talking about this. And he said, basically, all of my friends, he's 18. He said, all of my friends have now figured out that we don't like big platforms. We've all stopped. We've made conscious decisions to get off the big platforms. Now, it turns out they can't do that entirely. And they've wedded themselves to one, maybe two, that they've all kind of agreed that they're going to cope with. But I didn't see that coming. I just thought they all used all of the things and had thrown privacy out with the bathwater. Anyway, Marika's point is design matters. We need to use the correct language. We need to speak the language that them are speaking. She's shaking her head. We need to provide value-driven marketing. And she's saying this is what WordPress can do. I just thought this was so interesting. I've kind of got the feeling that unless we adopt some of this, WordPress is maybe viewed by the younger people as a bit of a dinosaur. So I applaud this. It seems like a really interesting idea. Anybody want to comment on that?
I mean, WordPress being seen as a bit of a dinosaur is going to becoming, is increasingly becoming a theme every year. And every year you have to go, but it's increasing, it's not decreasing. But you listen to some people and they would tell you that this is something from 20 years ago, which is a really weird, again, we're back to this perception thing rather than necessarily the truth. To the point that I was talking with a high school teacher and was talking about maybe doing some classes with kids. And they were like, oh, no, we don't. WordPress is really old hat. It's like, okay, you want these kids to have jobs? It's like, no, we're going to teach them something. And he literally just waffled on about some random CMS I'd almost never heard of. And that's the new cool thing. And it's like, wow, if the teachers are sort of like in that space are losing us, then we got very little chance of even reaching the kids in the first place directly through things like school.
I just wonder. So a lot of those things that Marika brought to mind really jibed with WordPress, but I do wonder what the future will look like for, so for example, the blog, the idea of a blog. I like to keep a blog. It's got itself embedded in my life. I'm not very good at keeping it, you know, but I like it there and I'll keep that website going as long as I possibly can. I don't know that my kids would ever want that. So that's a curious thing. Anyway,
so I find this curious. So I don't have children. So for me, this is really curious. And one of the things I've tried to do, mainly because I don't, is listen to other generations, because it'd be very easy for me. I'm 50 this year and it would be incredibly easy for me to only listen to people my age and go in my bubble and presume that everybody is me, right? Like my age. The more I listen, the more any presumption that I make, it reminds me that generations are cyclical. When I studied psychology and sociology in A level, I learned this, right? There's only so many combinations of generations and social combinations, and they repeat, they do. Gen Z is kind of a remix of Gen X because that's who brought them up. That's nature and nurture and the environment that they're brought up in. And that's kind of awesome. That means that probably we have a bit more understanding, but it means we won't have so much understanding of the generations that come after. And Generation Z is kind of not necessarily going to be the generation that we need to build for. They're the generation that are coming up. They're not necessarily the ones that we should be thinking about kind of onboarding. It's Alpha and all the kind of ones that come up after that. But for me, it's just listening, because if I stop listening to music that comes after me, if I stop consuming any form of media that comes after me, then I might as well just listen to old like Nirvana on repeat. And
people still write music. Good grief.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, we'd sound like 1989.
You can just go online and it will generate it for you now.
Okay.
It's okay.
I think that's absolutely fascinating, though. I do think the okay, so some of the experiments.
But if you don't have children, you have to make a conscious effort to do that. I think that's the interesting thing, because I don't have that. Those of us who don't, we have to make a conscious effort, or like, unless like by proxy, right? And I think one of the benefits I have of that is I'm constantly seeking the input. And I would encourage people to do that. For me, it's incredibly refreshing because it means that I'm very aware that my input is stale. Like, if I only listen to the music that I grew up with, my goodness, that would not be good, right? Or the media that I grew up with.
I know that Michelle has got kids, Tim's got kids. I'll just relay what it's like for me. My kids' aspirations online, the things that they want to do, bear no similarity to what I want to do. I mean, there's nothing. So apart from the fact that stuff is egressing from a device and it's going somewhere else, that's it. That's where it ends. They wouldn't want a platform which would be theirs, like, you know, I don't know, childwrigley.com, because now there's so much like putting yourself out there. There's so much of a tidal wave of nastiness which can come back at you. And, you know, this canonical record of all the things that you said and thought, they kind of, this a bit to Marika's point, you know, they want to be careful about it. But everything's so ephemeral, you know, it's like a fleeting thing which happens in this moment and then gets kind of forgotten in the tidal wave of scrolling and what have you. So it's just very, very different. Michelle, Tim, I don't know if you've got anything to share about them.
I would say even if you have kids, you still have to be listening and paying attention, because I still think of my daughter as like the next generation, and what are the young kids doing? And she's 33, so she's not the young kids anymore. So I have to listen to the generations after her to really understand what kids are looking for and what young adults are looking for, because my kid is 10 years older than I was when I had her. So, you know, I have to think about those kinds of things as well. So never stop listening, I guess, is basically my point. And I know, Tim, your kids are younger, but... Yep.
But Tim, when you look over your child's shoulder and see what they're doing, does any of it sort of cross-pollinate with the stuff that you're doing? I guess maybe
mine has been unlucky that she has me for a father. I don't know.
She's got security bulletins to read. And
well,
terminal, that's a toy.
But there is a level. She is still in primary school. She does streaming. She streams on a YouTube channel, which she set up herself and does. She builds like Roblox games for people. She loves ChatGPT and similar. There is a level at which that we're still at the stage of like finding where her own boundaries are, but perhaps very surprisingly, the most people go and are horrified. There's not many restrictions in front of her. We try and make it as unrestrictive as possible and let her find the path and boundaries. But I'm really lucky that I have a kid who would basically come up and go, so I saw this and I think it was inappropriate. It was like, good. So I didn't watch it. It's like,
oh.
But there will be a point where it's like...
Yeah, that's not going to...
And then the barriers might have to come in. But we're right at the moment. We're still at a very exploratory stage. So a lot of what she does reflects into, oh, these are hobbies that I quite like as well. You know, the other day I went up into her room and looked, and she was like, I'm busy. She was busy playing. And I was like, oh, what game are you playing? And she was like, Blender.
Oh.
That's like, great game. And I'm looking, and there's a genuine thing. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever opened Blender, but
it's a great
Blender,
game.
Where was Blender? Whereas there was an actual cat. It was blocky, but it was a cat.
I had visions of her with an actual Blender.
She'd only had that software for a few hours on... It's an open source of free 3D
modeling. It's brutal on the learning curve, though.
Yeah, but that was only in a few hours. And she was like, how did you do that? And she was like, well, I just watched these YouTube videos and followed them.
There's your answer.
Yep.
I kind of see the future being a lot of AI, kind of like we were talking, AI content. So you interact with an AI and you say, I don't know, let's say you want a website. I would like a website and it needs this, this, and this, and, you know, this sort of flavor, this design ethic, that kind of thing. And that's the bit, I suppose, that worries me, is that the whole, like, the tolerance of building a website and getting into the minutiae of setting things up on servers and figuring out the WordPress way of doing things. I think maybe Marika's pointing to what she thinks is some sort of existential threat, where if we don't sweep up these people, WordPress is just going to be, you know, a footnote in the history of the internet, because it's not something the kids want to do anymore.
I think it's if we don't listen. So the things that I've learned the past years have been generally from the people who are younger than me significantly, like by listening to them. And just being aware, like I've been taught so much by every single person that's given me that insight into different things. So I think that that's the thing, just listen to them. We can't create spaces for people that we presume what they want in the spaces. The visual thing is one thing, but also giving them things to be able to build with, giving them the tools that they have. If we don't have a first AI in our space, if WordPress doesn't have that, then they're not going to come in here.
Right? Oh, I think you're so right about that. Because, you know, the possibilities of an AI, that communication that you can have, like literally communicate with it. Yeah. I mean, I know it's...
But they want to build things. I think that's the thing that Tim's saying, is they've still got that questing. Like the thing from like... You imagine when we were... But like that questing, like the choose your own adventure books, the questing. That's been passed on to these generations, that... that love of like self-learning and that love of questing has been passed down. So they've still got that, but they want to play with their tools and they want to quest with their things. If they go into a space, their things aren't there, they're not going to see that they can quest in those spaces or they can build in those spaces. So they're just going to move on to somewhere where she's got more fun things to build in. I would.
Yeah. Honestly, it's a really... Marika, firstly, thank you just opening up that conversation, because I kind of got the sense of it. You know, you go to a word camp and you look around and the age is tending older. Let's just put it that way. There's not too many...
We're going to need nap breaks soon.
Yeah, yeah. There's more people my age.
I've been doing that for years.
Anyway, so there we go. We're sort of fast running out of time because we started horrendously late to our technical gremlin. So I'll just quickly do a few things that I had wanted to dwell on. This is the first one. If you are attending WordCamp Europe and you are under the age of 25, firstly, well done. I'll give you a sticker. And we'll sit down and we'll talk, and I'll call you Ute, and Tammy will do that. But here is the schedule has been produced, and I was going to dwell on it, but there's, you know, it's the now full Monty schedule of all the different bits and pieces that are going on. 2 days of conference, 1 day of contrib day as well. But I can't dwell on that, so I shan't. I will just quickly mention, though, that the Web Agency Summit, Tammy, you had an intuition that this maybe was on this week already.
I think it's on from today, maybe unless today. I'm having an elderly moment, which could be. Well, it is.
I think, yeah, this morning.
Okay, there we go. If you want to get into this, Bob, along with Andrew Palmer on the Do the Woo podcast, talked about it. It is happening this week, so hopefully you've got your, you figured out where all the URLs are for that. And just quick hat tip to the new global sponsorship team that are propping up things like meetups and WordCamps all over the place. And we have Automatic A2 Hosting and Woo, who have now been joined by Bluehost and Kinsta. So thanks to those teams for supporting the WordPress project. I am just going to go through this really quick. I hope you don't mind. And then also, Kyle Van Dusen from the admin bar. There's probably a better URL than this, but this is where it drives you. He's got an Airtable form. If you go to the adminbar.com, there's probably a post about this, but he's trying to get people to fill out his 2025 WordPress professional survey. And with this, he then produces a blog post outlining things like, you know, how much do you work in the WordPress space? What's the typical size of your project? Where are you based? How much do you charge? What's your demographic in terms of age and expertise and this kind of stuff? And I don't know anybody else who does something like this. So the data that comes out of it normally is pretty interesting, because the amount of people that fill this out is quite large. And so there's a new one, 2025. I'll put it in the show notes, which will drop tomorrow, but just Google the admin bar 2025 WordPress professional survey, and maybe it'll drive you towards this Airtable. But it's got to be filled out by the 11th of April. Okay, so a couple of days to do that. What else have we got? Yeah, a couple of products that I spotted. Patterns WP is a free. I think they've got a pro tier as well. But if you're into patterns, then this one came across my radar. As far as I can work out, it's new-ish, I think. And it's a set of patterns. I should expect, you know, you install it, click a button, add some pattern from a modal, and they drop into your page or post or whatever it may be. I am really going quick. And then Stackable, which is a suite of blocks, they've dropped a brand new global design system. So you can do things like font matching, typography. You can do things like global color system and things like that. So whenever you drop one of, I guess, their blocks, I don't know if it goes into core blocks in any way, shape or form, but the idea being that you don't have to set the color of the button every time you drop a button, and it'll all just be handled natively. So that's new for them. Barn 2, Katie's been on this many, many times before. They have bought a product. I want to call it a plugin. I'm pretty sure it's a plugin called Settery. Settery is a service which enables you in a sort of like a spreadsheet interface. If you've got a big WooCommerce store,
and you need to modify multiple things at the same time. If you have to open every product in a WordPress post, if you like, or a WooCommerce product, and then modify the details and click save, that presumably over like thousands of SKUs, that gets a bit annoying. So that's what Settery does. And they've joined forces. They've been bought by Katie Keith's barn too. So watch this space. Maybe they'll, I don't know, maybe there'll be some crossover there. It sounds like they're going to be moving into Shopify with this as well. Mark Westgaard, WWS4, he's been on this show loads of times. You know what the plugin does. It's a form plugin, but it's got a 20% off sale. So I thought I'd mention that. I don't know when that runs out, but it's certainly on sale at the moment. So any license, 20% off at the moment. And have I got anything else with 1 minute to spare? Tammy, I would so love to have dwelt on this one. It's a bummer, but here we go. If you like Grid and you like Flex and you wish you could combine the two, hold on. It sounds like it's coming. So you can do those masonry layouts natively. I mean, these things are a right nightmare. You need a ton of JavaScript to make what really ought to be a browser-based CSS-driven thing. It's been really hard to achieve these kind of things. Well, there is moves afoot, and this is written by the one and only, I'm sure you know Jen Simmons' yeah. work inside and out, but this is written by a bunch of people whose voices we know. Jen Simmons, working at Safari, I think now, or Apple, I'm pretty sure, is talking about this brand new thing. It's going to be called, well, if it lands and it's called this, it will be called Item Flow. And basically, it's the best of Grid and Flex all in one, which would be great. Darn, I wanted to talk about that a lot mm-hmm. more. But there we go. I think we've run out of time. I'm so sorry. Nightmare at the start. Just quickly, James Lowe. Hello, James. His son calls him from the other room and goes, bra, apparently. Is that a thing? What does that mean?
I think it means bro.
Like bro. Bro, yeah. Oh, but bro. They say it open like that, bra.
Okay. Okay.
And, I think he's five years old.
Okay. And that's probably it. That's all I got. I'm so sorry about the technical gremlins team. What a nightmare.
We don't want them. Just need to stop feeding them after midnight and you'll be fine.
You're quite right. Oh, that
it's
ages
midnight
you.
Somewhere.
That
yeah.
ages you. Have you watched that? Have you watched any film from like the 1980s recently, especially of a sort of sci-fi era? Because when you look
some
at the special
Labyrinth
effects.
Labyrinth stands up okay. Or
which
in
does?
My heart. Labyrinth, in my heart, that stands up okay. Oh, but don't, Tim. Don't.
Only in your
don't
heart,
do it.
Don't watch it too carefully.
Objectively, it's, you know, there's a Tim. Bunch of, you can see the wires.
Tim.
It's not the wires you can see.
I watched The Matrix recently, and I only saw it one time. Back in the day, and I thought I'll sit down and watch it, and oh,
you know, a film that does hold up, Dark Crystal, that does not hold up too bad. Oh, look, Tinsy Tim's on my side for that one.
Yeah,
I'm yeah. good, see?
Okay. Well, it was Muppets. I mean, how you're always going to forgive
me. The Dark Crystal is all right.
You're always going to forgive
me. I mean, Labyrinth was Muppets as well.
Yeah, anyway, there we go. We're going to get into this after we press stop, I think. That would be nice. I apologize to those of you who started listening to the show. I apologize to all of them. That was a bit of a nightmare. Technical stuff took over. Also, apologies if you were listening to this. It's much shorter than normal in the podcast feed, but that's the way it goes, I'm afraid. The technical stuff had us defeated. We will be back this time next week for another show, I think. I can't see any reason why we're not, but we'll see you next week. Thank you, Tim.